Welcome into the program today, folks. We want to continue on a series of lessons that we started quite a few months ago and continue on with four main points of doctrine upon which our doctrinal statement is based upon. And of course, these four main points do not encompass the entire doctrinal statement, but they're a building point from which we can build upon. And the four main points, of course, are a gospel that you can believe, there's a life that you can live, there's Bible study that you can understand, and there's a book or a Bible that you can trust. And we've been talking about the first two, a gospel you can believe and a life you can live, for the first couple months or so. And then a couple weeks ago, we started talking about a Bible study that you can understand. And last week, we actually were talking about the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And basically, we looked at some of the differences there, and then we found out we find Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 7. And we took a look at that time, Jesus Christ was to bring judgment on Israel. We look at this some other time a little bit later on, but basically, the tribulation period should have began shortly after that. Based on what we've studied in the Old Testament, we see that Jesus Christ was supposed to come back in judgment after he was standing. He was told to, God tells him, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And basically what happens is he was supposed to be seated until his enemies were to be made the footstool. Basically, he was supposed to come back in judgment. And we took a look at the verses last time, some verses in Isaiah and Psalm. We took a look and saw how Jesus Christ was supposed to stay seated until he came back in judgment. And we saw in Acts chapter 7, Stephen sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And of course, we took a look and saw what was going on there. And you notice that if Jesus Christ is standing and he's supposed to bring judgment, there is no rapture there. And I know a lot of folks say, well, Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew, there's a lot of different things about the rapture there. Well, that's not actually what the rapture is. The rapture was part of a mystery program that was spoken of after the revelation to the Apostle Paul. The rapture actually has to do with the mystery that was kept secret since the world began that we ended off with the last time. There were some things that were spoken of since the world began, and then there was also some things that were kept secret since the world began. So you see, there's actually two different programs there. One, of course, is talking about prophecy, and the other one's talking about the mystery, something that was spoken of since the world began and something that was kept secret since the world began. And part of that mystery program has to do with the rapture. The rapture is part of that. The rapture cannot be found in Matthew. No matter how hard you try and put it there, it's not there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not know of what we call the rapture, the catching away of the body of Christ. But like I said, we could get into that some other time because we want to continue on what we're talking about here, the fact that we have a Bible study that we can understand. And for us to be able to understand what's going on, let's go over to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, of course, when you read this verse, notice it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now, who are the dogs that Jesus Christ is talking about here? And of course, we know that this is the context here is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ is telling the nation of Israel not to give unto the dogs that which is holy. Notice in verse 7, it continues on. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, who's he talking about here? Who is he talking to? The nation of Israel. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, you can read the passage here and notice what's going on, but the you that he's talking about here, the ye that is being spoken of here, is the nation of Israel. And he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Who exactly is the dogs? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. We'll start reading there. And of course, this is the story of the Syrophoenician woman who comes to Jesus to get her daughter healed. Verse 21 says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now notice here, we have a Syrophoenician woman coming up asking Jesus Christ to heal her daughter. And what's his response? He answered her not a word. Continue on. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you can go back to, we'll go back there real quick, Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus Christ is gathering together his disciples to begin with, when he calls the 12 disciples at the beginning, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Their commandment was to take the gospel of the kingdom to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were not to go to the Gentiles. So we get back over here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Jesus Christ says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile lady, comes up to Jesus and asks him to heal her daughter. And first of all, he doesn't answer her. And second of all, he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The only way he could do this is if it was a member of the nation of Israel. But there were some provisions built in for the Gentiles. You know, you remember we talked about last time in Ephesians chapter 2. Go over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And this is talking about, Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now the ye in this passage is talking about Gentiles. And we took a look at last time and saw how the Gentile nation was kept separate from the nation of Israel. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, in times past, that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now notice here what he says is that in time past you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So he's telling us that there was a time when there was a separation between Jew and Gentile, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. If you drop down to verse 14, he says, talking about Christ in verse 13 there, he says, For he is, talking about Christ there, for he is our peace who made both one, Jew and Gentile both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That middle wall of partition, something that separated Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision, was the act of the circumcision itself. The fact that Jews were circumcised and Gentiles were not to be, that was a separation point that separated man religiously by an act of a religious system. And of course, that is circumcision. And you can go back to Genesis and you can actually go back and listen to some of our previous studies talking about that. But he says, at that time ye were without Christ. Well, that time is Matthew chapter 15. Any time that you see a division between Jew and Gentile, a division between circumcision and uncircumcision, you are in what is called, what the Bible calls, time past. That's part of prophecy. That's part of the prophetic scriptures that we have. Something that was spoken of since the world began. So in Matthew chapter 15, you and I could not have been saved at this time unless we had certain provisions. The good thing was there were certain provisions. back to the story here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. Notice what she says. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice what he says again. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Who is he talking about are dogs here? It's the Gentile people. He says, I cannot give you, Gentile woman, what is holy that is supposed to be only given to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice what she says here, and this is one of the provisions. Verse 27, And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What we have here is a Gentile woman who is told, I cannot do this because I can't give what is holy unto the dogs. I can't give what is meat for the children's bread to take them and to cast it to dogs. And notice what she says. She states that she knows that there is that division there. And she says, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus heals her daughter. There's a separation there. There was one of only two ways that you could get into the nation of Israel as a Gentile. Do you remember what one of those ways were from previous studies? One of them is, what does God say to Abraham? I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. What do we have going on here? This woman notices that she is not supposed to be a partaker of the promises, the covenants of promise, and she takes her rightful position as a dog who can only get the crumbs. She blesses Israel, the nation of Israel, by stating that she knows what her place is. At that time is when Jesus answers and says, O woman, great is thy faith. I want to pause just for a moment there, and I want you to take a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when he says, O woman, great is thy faith, how did she get that faith? Someone in the past has taught her her position as a Gentile person, that they are only to get the scraps that are left over from the nation of Israel. There is a separation here, and it's not until that woman says, I know from what she studied the Bible, folks. She knew what her rightful position as a Gentile person was. Gentile people were dogs in comparison to the nation of Israel. That's what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Here we see that it's not until this lady points out the fact that she knows Scripture, she heard the word, and then she has faith and understands and trusts that word. What God wrote to her was that you are a dog, a Gentile dog, and you only get the scraps that are left over from the children. She believed that verse. She believed the Scripture. And only when she speaks that to Jesus Christ does he say to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Basic point is, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 15, you have a difference between Jew and Gentile. Now, where are we as far as the covenants go? We're still in Old Covenant, Old Testament Scripture. We've talked about this. What do we know from the Old Testament, Old Covenant? What was the covenant about? Basically, you have the covenant was made with Abraham that God would give unto him land and create a nation and make it a great nation. And the only way that anybody else could get into it was by blessing Israel. And like I said, there's a couple different ways. We won't get into those now. But there was at least a couple doors through that middle wall of partition. Now, basically, what we're talking about is there is a specific way that we should study the Bible. If we know and understand where we're at as far as God's big program, we know how to study the scripture. Let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember, yet ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Notice here it says time past. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, so the time past, it's over with. That time is no longer going on. Time past, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But notice verse 13. I want you to underline those first two words. But now. Guess what? There's a difference now. There's a difference in what was going on then and what's going on now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, you were pushed aside, you were away from, you were without Christ, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were afar off. You had no way to come to God except for specific ways that you were to come to Him. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. So what is it that brings us now to Christ? At one time we were away. There was a middle wall of partition, what verse 14 is talking about. There is a middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ comes on the scene and says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He tells his disciples not to go into the way of the Gentiles or into any of the cities of Samaria. Enter ye not. You are sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, because of what Jesus Christ done on the cross, there was a mystery that was revealed. There was a secret purpose behind the cross that was never spoken of until the Apostle Paul comes along. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. And remember, Ephesians 2:11 tells us that at one time we were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope, and we were without God in the world. But there was a time change, and it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh. The mystery program that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and to him alone, we see some things are changing. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, it says, Paul says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, according to Scripture, and you know, had you listened to us for quite some time, you know that we care about what the books say, what the words say, not the meanings behind it. We're not spiritual Israel. I don't care who tells you that. We are not spiritual Israel. You are a Gentile. And as a Gentile, you have an apostle. Verse 13 says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, if you're a Gentile and you trust Scripture, who's your apostle? Peter. No, that's not what the verse says. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Now, you actually have to understand that Romans chapter 10, 11, and 12 actually is dealing with the fall of the nation of Israel, the casting aside of the nation of Israel, and how God has placed a new gospel so that the entire world can be saved. What's verse 15 says? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead. God is reconciling himself to the world at this moment. The message that we have now is a message of reconciliation. God at this point has been cast out of the world in the Old Testament. His Son was cast out of the world at the cross, and the Holy Ghost was cast out at the stoning of Stephen. Mankind three times says, I don't want you, I don't want you, I don't want you. Guess what God does? He says, well, I want you. And he says, I will reconcile you by the death of my Son. What you intended for evil, I'm going to use for good. I will reconcile you to myself through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about over in verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, brought closer by the blood of Christ. He says, you push me away, I pull you in by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What you decided for evil, I'm using for good. Going down to verse 25. Verse 25, here's where we get the title or the separation, the title of the separation. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, this is Romans chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now notice it says until the fullness of the Gentiles. That's not talking about the times of the Gentiles that you go back in Old Testament scripture and a lot of people use for end time prophecy, talking about the times of the Gentiles, and different people use that phrasing for something else. This is the fullness of the Gentiles, the time that we have that Jesus Christ is being used to reconcile God to the world. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Notice this goes along with what we talked about before, that Israel shall be saved. It's still a future tense thing. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That's Acts chapter 3. That's Joel chapter 3. That's Ezekiel chapter 36. And that's what we looked at in Jeremiah chapter 31 last time. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, verse 30 here says, for as ye in times past have not believed God, and that's of course talking about Gentiles, yet have now obtained mercy through their, Israel's, unbelief. Israel still has their sins to be forgiven in the future. That's what we looked at the last time. Like I said, Acts, Joel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, go read them. That's what it's talking about. But verse 30 says that ye in times past, the Gentiles, have now obtained mercy through Israel's unbelief, through their unbelief. That's the main thing that we have going on. When you have a separation between the two, you are in prophetic scripture. You're dealing with prophecy, something that has been spoken of since the world began. When you no longer have a division between Jew and Gentile, between circumcision and uncircumcision, then you are in what God calls the mystery program, something that was kept secret since the world began, but now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Romans chapter 16 again real quick. Romans chapter 16 verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And I know we've gone over a lot today and taken a look at quite a few different verses. I hope that you've jotted those verses down so we can go back and study those a little bit later. And as I've said before, I ask that you be a Berean. In Acts, there's a group of people, a church, that studied those things, whether they be so. And I ask that you study the scripture for scripture's sake, not for predetermined notions, not for the name above the door as you walk in on church on Sunday, but read the scriptures as they're laid out. Don't have preconceived notions about it. Read it for what the words say. There is a message that was kept secret since the world began, the mystery. That has to do with there is no separation between Jew and Gentile. And then there was something that was spoken of since the world began, that's prophecy. And that has to do with a separation between Jew and Gentile, a separation between uncircumcision and circumcision. When you read scripture and you see a difference between circumcision and uncircumcision, you are dealing with prophecy and Israel only, or Israel first, and then if Israel done it, then we can. But guess what? That's the problem. Israel never done it. That's why you see Jesus Christ standing in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 7, that's telling us that, hey, Israel failed at what they were supposed to do. Their time is not up. As we've seen in Romans chapter 10, 11, and 12, if you go read that, God will once again deal with Israel. Right now he's dealing with the nation, with, right now he's dealing with Gentiles and everybody else. Everybody has a chance and an opportunity for salvation. And that's where we want to end off today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, basically looking at verse 3 and 4. Verse 2 says, by which ye are saved. And of course, verse 1 he says, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. At this time, I want to extend to you the opportunity, if you've never done this before, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, understanding that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and he was raised for your justification. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to sing a song. You don't have to pray a prayer. All you simply have to do is place your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid it all. All to him I owe. That's what the song says. It's nothing to do with us. There's nothing that we can do to be saved. It's by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're made nigh unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ today, and I hope you have if you've never done that before, please let us know that we can get some information to you, some literature to you, so that you can know that you have your sins forgiven once for all.